want to ask you a question. What is the definition of worship? Anyone want to try? Just one person. Anyone out there want to try? Fred, go ahead. He got it. That's good. That would have been bad if he didn't get it. Sorry to put you on the spot, Fred. Because he's been asking us. But good job, Fred. So, definition of worship is our correct response to a glimpse of God's glory. And I really want to take this morning to focus and just break that down, what that definition means. What is worship? Now, we've been looking in Philippians chapter 2. And Pastor Bob was even quoting Philippians chapter 2 last Sunday. And, you know, I just want to encourage all of you. Pastor Bob shared with me that he's memorized that verse and recited it to himself as he goes down the hill to Temecula many, many times. And, in fact, the whole book of Philippians. So, I believe that is an excellent example and an encouragement for us to be diligent to memorize. But Pastor Bob, thank you for sharing with us last Sunday. But looking at the passages we've been looking at in Philippians chapter 2, we see that Jesus humbled himself. And that, I mean, I just love this phrase. He got under the whole earth to lift it up to salvation. He humbled himself lower than anyone ever has or ever will to lift the rest of us to salvation. And so now I think of that as I see people and they come, whatever the situation may be, I look at them and I think, all right, Matt, go down. You need to get under this person and lift them up. Amen. Don't be jealous of their gifts. Don't be frustrated with them. Don't judge them harshly. Get down and get under them and lift them up. Amen. And that is how we got to look at everyone around us that we see, that comes, that we associate with. Humble ourselves to lift them up. And that's been a blessing for me. It's been a blessing for me. Amen. And so, seeing that glory of our Lord and Savior, how He humbled Himself, should cause us to make a response. And the response, the correct response that we should have is right there in chapter 2, verse 5, where it says that Jesus, this attitude, I got to go back a little bit more. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of your mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's the response. Have this attitude in yourselves. So the correct way to respond to that revelation of Jesus' glory is for us to go and to do the same thing. Amen. And to humble ourselves and to serve. And we see the glory just build and build and build in that passage in Philippians 2 until we see in verse 10 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that day is coming. We're not only believers in Jesus Christ, we'll bow down in love, wanting to honor their Lord and Savior, but also those who have not believed, who have rejected Jesus, they will bow down and they will confess that Jesus is Lord. And even those who are under the earth, who have died, they will bow down and they will confess that Jesus is Lord. And even the angels in heaven, they will bow down and they will proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And even the demons will bow down and they will proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And even the devil himself will bow down and proclaim that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that day is coming, and we just cannot imagine what that will be like. As everyone boldly, whether it was a believer or an unbeliever, everyone will boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And we bow to Him right now. Amen. Praise God. We hope that everyone here bows to Him right now. And just in thinking of that, in thinking of worship, we're not physically bowing down with our face to the ground right now, but our hearts need to be in that position. Our hearts need to be in that position of bowing down, submitting, and worshiping Jesus Christ. Our hearts need to be in that position where we say, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, here's a blank check. You put on there whatever you want, and I'll go and I'll do it. I'll cash it. Our heart needs to be in that place where we say, yes, Lord, before we even know what He asks. And Pastor Bob, I remember that message very well. Before we even know what He requires of us, our heart would be in that position to say yes. And this is worship. That is worship, to have that type of an attitude in our heart. Obedience is a correct response to a revelation of God's glory. Amen. That is how we're to respond. So obedience. Also, faith and trust in the Lord is our correct response to His glory. We see in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, we worship Him. We see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, and then in chapter 4, verse 12, we see Moses at the burning bush talking with God. And God tells Moses, look, you are going to go to Pharaoh and you are going to bring my people out of Egypt. Don't worry, I'm going with you. And then in chapter 4, verse 12, Moses says, but Lord, I am slow to speech. And God says, don't worry, I'll give you the words, I'm going with you. And we know how that ends up. Moses didn't quite have the faith and the trust, and so the Lord sent Aaron to be his mouthpiece. But again, the Lord says, go. And we are to have the faith and the trust in Him to do that and to go. Not knowing all the details. Not knowing all the details. In fact, I heard this taught recently, and it changed my faith and my trust. So listen carefully. But many times we do not know all the details. We don't. We just know that something needs to be done. It's very clear that the Lord has given instruction that something needs to be done about this. And we don't have to know all the details. We just have to have the faith and the trust to take the first step. Amen. Take the first step. Knowing that the Lord goes with you and He will provide. And He will give you what you need to keep going. And having that faith and trust to step into the unknown is worship. You are pleasing Him, trusting in Him. So take the first step that is obviously needs to be done. I know Pastor Bob shared with me that Pastor Bob and Bertha pray this many times over the years. Lord, we don't know the details. We just know that this is needed. There is a need right here. Lord, and You've commanded that this need be filled. And so we don't know the details, but please just show us the first step. And we'll take it. It's the same thing that Jesus says in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go, baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Make disciples of all nations. You know the rest. And then He says at the end, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I go with you. So Lord, what steps do You want us to take? What needs do You want us to meet, trusting that we'll just take that first step? You know what's amazing, though? You know what's absolutely incredible? Is when you start taking those steps, and the Lord provides, and the needs are met, and you begin to see that the Lord had been preparing you your whole life for this. It's like He had raised you up specifically to fulfill this purpose. Amen. Not only is He providing, He has raised you and been with you the whole way to prepare you for this. Amen. And it's absolutely amazing. It's incredible. The wisdom of our God. And it'll be so amazing that when we get to heaven and we stand before Him and we receive our rewards and our crowns, we'll be like, Lord, no, it's Yours. You prepared us for all of this work. You prepared us for. You provided for. You are the faithful One. You are the faithful One that worked in us. So here, and you'll just lay it down at His feet. So the correct response to His revelations of glory is to take that step. Another way that we worship Him is through financial offerings. It's a correct response to His glory. It's a correct response recognizing that He is the Creator of all things. He is the Provider of all things. It's all His. And so we have that heart attitude to say, Lord, whatever You want me to give, please show me. That is an act of worship. Taking care of the poor, the orphan, and the widow is an act of worship. There are many ways to worship God. Sharing testimony of God's mighty works is an act of worship. Answering the question, what has He done for you? What has God done for you? And if you remember, Pastor Bob talking about it last week, a lot of times prayers are praising and thanking God for things that He's given us. But we need to be a lot more diligent to praise and thank the Lord simply for who He is. Simply for the great salvation that we have in our Lord and Savior. Those are the reasons that we should praise and worship Him. But like I said, He's working in us, preparing us, strengthening us, seeing us through storms and trials, and lifting us up to meet needs and to fulfill callings that we just cannot foresee or imagine. So, with that said, what has God done for you? He's done everything. That's right, Thomas. It's absolutely right. He's done everything. And Thomas, thank you for sharing that. And I'd like for more of you to share a sentence, two sentences, a word What has God done for you? Go ahead and shout it out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Chris. And you're absolutely right. He's redeemed my life from destruction.
Oh. He's changing me.
He is, Sarah. He is. He's changing all of us, and it's glorious. Thank you, Sarah.
He forgave us.
He's forgiven us and paid the debt of all of our sins.
He's given me joy where there was no joy.
Joyful heart. Thank you, Linda. The angels. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional love. It's glorious. It's a revelation of His glory. And our response is to go and do the same. Very good. Very good. He's done all these things and He's done everything. He's done so much more than we can fathom. And so sharing testimony, that's a form of worship. Scripture reading, memorization, meditation on the Word of God, worship. Meditation, so important. It's like a cow, right? The cow has seven stomachs and it's chewing on that cud and it brings it back up. I know this is not the most pleasant illustration, but brings it back up in its mouth, chews on it, puts it down in another stomach, brings it up, chews on it, puts it back down in the stomach, until all the nutrients are gone out of that grass. And that's exactly what we are to do with Scripture.
Amen.
Chew on it and meditate on it and memorize it and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it some more.
Amen.
And it's an act of worship. It shows us the glory of God. Prayer is an act of worship. Christian fellowship, an act of worship. And these things are all key to spiritual growth. It's very true, Pastor Bob. Spiritual truths are caught and not so much taught. They're caught. I feel like I've caught a whole lot more spiritual truth in the last 3 years being in ministry here with you than I have for the 6 years I was in the classroom. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth."
Amen.
It's the Lord that causes the growth in us. Sarah, it's the Lord that's changing you and changing me. It's a work of the Spirit in us. But here's the thing, we can put ourselves in better conditions for the Spirit to work and to grow us. We can put ourselves in conditions that the Spirit will be able to... Well, let me put it this way. Julie and I were talking about a garden. You know, spring's coming. So we're planting it out And anyway, you know, we could take our seeds and just throw them in the ground and not really do anything. Are they going to grow very well? And they might not even grow at all, honestly. We'll put water on them, but But no, you got to take the seed and you got to get good soil, fertilizer, and I mean, there's a lot to it. I know Fred and Teresa have a really amazing garden. If you have any questions about gardening, you should talk to Fred. Because they really do, I mean, have a pretty awesome garden at their place. But anyway, we have to make the right conditions for that seed to grow and flourish and produce much fruit. And so we do the same by putting ourselves in these conditions of worship where we're in fellowship with other believers and we're praying and meditating on Scripture and we're taking those steps of faith into the unknown and you know those are things that are putting us in the right conditions for the Spirit really to produce fruit and grow us. And so we need to be understanding that it's God that causes the growth, but we can put ourselves in the right conditions for that growth to really flourish. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, verses 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men?" We don't want that to be true of us. The Corinthians were not maturing. Men, this is a challenge for you. In 2 weeks, we're gonna have a luncheon after church. And the men are going to serve the food, and we're going to clean up and let the ladies relax and talk and enjoy themselves. So, men, we need you there, and we need your help. And after the lunch, we're going to have a time of just challenging the men and calling them to be faithful men, biblical men. And in that time, we're going to consider a few things that were established in the very beginning. In Genesis, in the very beginning, there's three things that the Lord established in the very beginning. Does anyone want to guess what they are? Three things in the Garden of Eden before the fall. He established work. He established work. That man would work and care for the earth 6 days. Not 5 days and have 2 days off. Not 4 days, 10-hour days and have all the evenings and, you know, 3 days off. But 6 days man would work and take care of the earth. And that was a blessing. Work is a blessing. And then he also established the Sabbath. The Lord rested on the seventh day, and we are to rest 1 day in the week. Yes. It's a Sabbath day where we rest in the Lord. Amen. We rest in Him, we seek Him, and we get realigned with the Lord. We get realigned with Him. We need 1 day out of the week where we do that. That was established in the beginning. And then, of course, marriage. Marriage was established in the beginning. Man will leave his father and his mother and become one flesh with his wife. And so, men, these are profound establishments that the Lord made in the very beginning. And as spiritual leaders, it's our job as men to make sure that these are established in the lives of our family and that we encourage them in the life of the church. And that without these three things, there's really disorder. Everything kind of starts going haywire. And so, men, in 2 weeks we're going to talk about that and And you need to be here.
Amen.
And men, as we hear these things, and we repent and seek the Lord, and ask the Lord to change our heart, so that we would be faithful. We would be faithful to establish these things in our families and in the church. That's an act of worship. That pleases the Lord. And as we are faithful to do these things for the glory of God, to honor and please Him, we are worshiping. We are giving the correct response to a revelation of God's glory. There's a lot more here. But this is part one of a teaching on worship that really should extend for the rest of our lives. Yeah. Learning about worship and worshiping the Lord is the most important thing that we do in this life. And we should be growing in worship and doing worshiping the Lord and in these things for the rest of our lives. So this is worship part one. Last Saturday, a group of us from the church went to a worship conference in Ontario at Gateway Seminary. And there was eight of us that went. It was a large group. And it was a real blessing. And while we were there, we were learning about worship. But an aspect I didn't talk about this morning, I'll have to save for part two. But singing to the Lord. And that's a very important part of our worship.
Amen.
Singing to the Lord. And so between Fred and I and Pastor Bob and Angela and Celicia and everyone that went, we probably spent combined, I haven't really factored the numbers in my head, but I'm throwing out a number that I think is not like a big fish story. But I'd say 100 hours maybe.
There's more than that, because it's 14 hours times 8.
Okay. That's right, because that was a 14-hour day.
It was 122 hours.
Just for that day. I was praying all week. And then Fred and I, we were praying for like months, talking about it. So, okay, fine. So 500 hours on the subject of worship, and specifically the worship of singing, that I had in this sermon that I'm not even going to try to open right now, because we're running out of time. But the Lord was faithful, and He worked in a mighty way in that time that we were together discussing worship. So just want to ask. There is so much to worship, and as Fred and I are meeting on Mondays and doing Bible studies together and studying worship, we're just feeling the weight and the responsibility of this, as leaders of worship, to lead the church, and to train and to teach worship. So we'll come back and we'll do more sermons on worship and what it is. So again, that was part one. And so we talked about all these different ways to worship the Lord, and there's more. But we just have to have it in our mind that we don't just worship the Lord when we come together Sunday morning. But we worship the Lord all week.
Amen.
All week we worship the Lord in these different ways. And then when we come together as a congregation to sing and to share testimony and to be in Scripture and worship the Lord on Sunday, then our hearts are already ready.
Amen.
And our hearts are already overflowing. And we just fall right into it. And there's not a coldness and a hardness there. So let's worship our Lord this week and come ready to worship next Sunday. And, all right. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and have us close in prayer. And thank you for those that worship the Lord and providing and helping out the Camp Agape ministry. Sam, could you go ahead and come up here?
Amen.
All right, here's our brother Sam, and so I just want him to come up here, and we want to pray for him and encourage him. So before you go, just come and speak a word of encouragement to him, and let him know that you're here for him, and we're all here to lift him up.
Amen.
And just to work with the Lord to prepare him for whatever calling the Lord has for him. All right, so we're very, very excited. And Sam, so thankful for your confession of faith this morning. It's great encouragement. So let's go ahead and pray and close. Heavenly Father, Lord, so many ways to worship you, Father. And there's so many ways you show us your glory, Lord, all around us. And so we do just thank you and worship you for revealing your glory this morning, Lord, especially in Sam's baptism, Lord, and in his openness and his open proclamation of faith in you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the miraculous work that you're doing in him. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that even me, Pastor Bob, Dennis, all of us, Lord, we can all see ways where we're not quite fully bowing our heart to you, Lord, and ways that we need to repent. So, Holy Spirit, just reveal those to us and help us to take that first step and to go and be obedient to you, Lord. And so we love you so much, Jesus. Again, we thank you for this time. Please, Lord, we ask your power and your Spirit to work mightily even in this fellowship that we get to have right now together as we leave. And we love you, Lord Jesus, and this is all for your glory, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.